C1PR. Number 21A.
Now, we come to the subtone of soul. How do we get there? See, first she says, the world of error is ignorant of the world of truth. Just as the world of matter is ignorant of the world of spirit. And just as she says that the world of sensation is ignorant, not cognizant, of the world of soul. So, the consciousness which falls back on something which is not of the nature of the life in and of spirit is ignorant, completely ignorant of the world which falls back on life in and of spirit, as the father of all. How is that duality going to be solved? So she says, well, you have a consciousness. Therefore, stay and abide with the spiritual. You can't serve two masters. So go and choose. It's the day of decision. Truth or spirit, and says, therefore, to be present with the Lord, and to be present with the Lord in this demonstration of spirit, and in the understanding of life. See, she says, in the understanding of life, because it's falling back always to life in and of spirit. So to be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter. Then it comes to the third subtone and says, all right, if I have that day of decision behind me and I have made up my mind and stay with on the side of life in and of spirit and abide by that, then she says, well, that is the higher. That is the higher than the world of error. That is the higher than that consciousness which was falling back of life in and of matter. It's the higher, and therefore it rules. It's the higher. If I go back to life in and of spirit, I begin to rule with life, truth, and love. I begin to rule with life, truth, and love. And that's what she says now here in soul, that the higher controls the lesser by abiding with life in and of spirit. And so she says here, we have here now the rule of consciousness. See, truth as soul. The rule of consciousness, which is the rule of healing. Become conscious for a single moment. It's life. Life has no moment. Therefore, it doesn't matter if it's a split second or if it's 1,000 years. It's conscious being of life. Become conscious of a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual. You see, it's life in and of spirit that we fall back here to. And it says, let's be conscious of that. What does it do? It rules our soul. That consciousness rules the soul, and it rules out of me all what is not of the nature of a living, constructive ability. Therefore, and the body will then utter no complaints. See? He says, the body needs not to be changed primarily. What needs to be changed primarily is our consciousness. If the consciousness is right, the body is right. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. You get the change of soul. You see, soul changes. But here it isn't just soul, S-O-U-L, that changes. It is that wonderful consciousness in me, which has built on truth as mind and truth as spirit. which has built on the recognition that the world of truth is only conscious of the world of truth, and only needs to be conscious of the world of truth, has only to know the world of truth. I don't have to know error, the build-up of error at that particular stage. It is saying, well, it's knowing the truth. What is knowing the truth? It says, well, stick and abide by life in and of spirit. Be present, abiding in the spiritual life. Then that as soul is ruling in me. It rules out of me. It rules out of me a false consciousness, which is the basis of a false manifestation on the body. And you will find yourself suddenly well. If suffering, sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life. You see, it's again by spiritual life, truth and love. It's always falling back to God, to the Father of all who is spiritual. Can you see that? You will find it through all the subtones, always that having as its background, the background of consciousness is always life in and of spirit. I don't want to go on to that point. Perhaps next time I will show it. Now I have to say it. You wonder what I want to say. Remember how Mr. Dawley said that when we come to the sixth day, that we come to the synonymous term. Do you remember that? That in the fifth day we have the numerals, and then when you come to the sixth day we have the synonymous terms. Well, you get that here. All through the first five previous prayers, it is culturing and culturing that what we have in ourselves. And then here we fall back always to God. We fall back to the synonymous terms, to the fullness of God in consciousness. And that's why you have here, as not in the previous ones, always that sense of falling back to the synonymous, to God as the All, the Father of all, as the Word of life, which is incorporeal. And so, she says here, hence the hope of the promise Jesus bestows. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, because why? He gives the reason why he does the works. He says, why am I doing the works I do? He says, well, the reason is because I go to the Father. Because I go unto my Father. Because the ego is absent from the body and present with truth and love. See, that's his reason for healing. He says, my reason for healing is the sixth prayer, that I fall back to the Father. I go to the Father. Our very fact of going to the Father is being conscious of truth. And that's a healthy consciousness. But going back to the Father consciously means that I must know the way that leads me to the Father. I must know the way that leads me to, or I can't go to the Father. How can I go to the Father if I don't know the way? But the previous subject, the fifth subject, showed us the only practical road to the Father. And what, when we look up there, what did she say? And we saw that yesterday so clear. What did she say was the practical road to the Father? And we saw it was the first four prayers. So we have always the whole prayer that went before as constituents for the next prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is the prayer of soul, not of material sense. So that seems to be very clear how the tone of soul enters here. It enters here as the control. As, you see, ruling with the Father means ruling the body. Ruling with the Father means being in consciousness one with the Father, and that means to have one consciousness, an incorporeal consciousness, and therefore no body consciousness. I can no more be sensibly with the body. Then, so here we get that rule of healing, you see. And I find it so satisfying in so far that we say, well, we know that consciousness, if consciousness rules, that we get healing. And she introduces that very thought exactly where it has to be in the whole structure of the first chapter, namely truth as soul. See, we can be so sure that she didn't write the textbook. We can be so sure that principal wrote the textbook. Because there is nothing humanly outlined in it. He couldn't have humanly outlined that way. And every time one considers one of these tones, one just can see, well, it has to be there. It can't be before nor afterwards. And so we go on. He goes on to principal and says, entirely separate. See, we get again that sense of separation, but entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living. See, falling back on material life, of life in and of matter, is what? Life divine. She falls back on life. But she says, let's see that we fall back on the right life, on the life in and of spirit, that life which is divine, and not that life which is a human dream. Revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick. And with it you can speak as one having authority. Now we get the tone of principle, the principle that has dominion. Exactly as in the days of creation, where in the days of creation, truth and principle says that man shall have dominion, he shall speak with authority. Exactly the same place. It's science. It's not a book that is written by a human person. It isn't. It is science. It is principle that wrote the pages. We can't help it seeing that. And therefore we can't help be grateful for Mrs. Eddy that she didn't put her personal self into those pages. That she stepped out as a person. And that's pretty difficult if one writes a book to put oneself out of the writing. That's a tough job. And we can be so grateful for Mrs. Eddy that she put herself out of the way when she edited and re-edited and re-edited the textbook until she felt now it is principle interpreting itself through the pages and not through a person. So this gives a sense, you see, that as I rule truth as soul, as I rule with life, truth and love, that is of the nature that I partake of the governing nature of life, truth and love, therefore that I partake of the quality of dominion and authority. And somehow, little by little, as one cultures these tones livingly and lovingly and not just thinkingly, one really gets that sense, even if it's only a beginning and a small touch of sense, but one begins to have a sense of dominion. One feels more and more untouched by the world. One feels more and more untouched by the dream of material living. And one gets a sense of living in the life divine and not in the dream of material living. One really gets that sense of dominion and authority. And it's quite enough to see for the moment that it is so, though the touch may still be tender and small, but the hope is there. That's why she said before, hence the hope of the promise Jesus bestows. In prayer we still live on the promise and on the hope. All through the prayer we live on the hope and on the promise. And it's something nice to live on already. It isn't the acme of science. It isn't the climax of science. It isn't the pinnacle of science. But it's a wonderful, right beginning. And quite enough for our day. For the day of our understanding. For the day where we spiritually are. And that promise is nurturing us and feeding us to a higher promise, to a higher certainty, to a higher authority, to a higher dominion, to more authority, until the perfect day. So, having that promise of a higher dominion and a higher authority, she goes on to life. The truth is life. And when she comes to life, she always shows in the subtone of life, all through the chapter on prayer, when we ever come to the subtone of life, she always shows us the way to it. And here she recapitulates the way again. Here it is from the point of truth, of consciously going the way. It's no more pointing out the way as she has done in the fifth prayer of pointing out the way. Here it is consciously going the way. You see, because it's dominated by the tone of the sixth prayer, the prayer of consciousness of truth. So it says, when thou prayest, mind, enter into thy closet. You must have a direction. You must develop that prayer. Enter into thy closet. Always in the Bible, when we come to the subtone of spirit, we get so often that tone of development and of leading into a direction. Enter into thy closet. Then third, shut thy door. That's the third prayer. Shutting out sinful sins. Rebuking sin. Shut thy door. Fourth, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Pray to thy Father in secret. The Father seeth in secret. He interprets the secret thing. He can oversee his whole realm, the realm of divine idea, which for material sense is in secret. So the Father which knows, which can interpret everything, which knows everything, he will reward you openly. And we have the floodgates of heaven opened. Life. Here she shows the method of consciousness. Here she shows the method of consciousness, how to enter. It's only the method. Shows what is the method of consciousness which says, I have to be consciously conscious of the true living source. How do I do it? She recapitulates that it must be of the nature of the first prayer. I must ask and seek. Second, I must go in that way and make an effort and express that prayer. The second prayer of expression. Third, I must deny sin and rebuke sin in me. I must shut the door and can't let any temptation in. Then I come to the fourth prayer where I see that there is a principled realm and a principled attitude. And if I touch that principled attitude, I touch life, truth and love. I open the floodgates of heaven. It will reward me openly. The source, the infinite source of life opens up. Now, that's very nice, any religionist would say, if he doesn't see that behind this is the divine impulsion of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. The religionist says, well, that's all right, but what will happen then? The scientist says, all right, oh yes, I see. I come, if I follow this line, I get in line with principle, and being in line with principle, I partake of the fullness of people, of principle, of life. The scientist doesn't say, and then what do I get? He says, oh no, doing that, entering in the closet, that's my answer. Because what I want is to be entering into the closet and to be in heaven. That's the big difference between the religionist who prays that prayer from the Bible and the scientist who prays that from the Bible. The text is the same for the religionist and the scientist. The religionist says, all right, I do that, so now what is going God to give me? The scientist doesn't say that. A scientist feels the depth of each of these steps of the way to holiness, and feeling that way, he feels he is becoming man. Something in him says, well, that's my reward. Namely, to be in line with the word of life. And something in us is satisfied and therefore is whole. Why is it whole? Because going that method, Mrs. Eddy says, that leads you to truth. To truth as truth. And taking that method, which she has presented in Truth as Life, going that method has in itself the power of truth. The power of truth that shuts out. Now we come to the truth as truth, which shows how this consciousness silences in us that erroneous, sinful sense which still asks for something else than to be the way and go the way and have the way. That's why in Truth as Truth she says, so spake Jesus. So spake Jesus. That's word. But behind it, she says, is the power of truth. Behind it is what she depicts now. After, she said, the closet typifies the sanctuary of spirit. You see how she falls back on life or on spirit. Just to show that this sanctuary, that this way, you see, that the way of consciousness through the method of truth and life, through the method of consciously going the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth prayer, leads us into a sanctuary, into a consciousness which is only spiritual. It's the sanctuary of spirit, which has no more any sense of a dual consciousness, where the sense of a duality in consciousness is wiped out. The door of which cuts out sinful sense, but lets in truth, life, and love. Closed to error, it is open to truth, and vice versa. See, how a wonderful, clean sense we get here of that sanctuary of spirit, which is so clean. Why? Because behind this word order, behind that which she has shown as truth, as life, the method of going into the sanctuary, that behind there stands the sixth day, the truth as truth, where the synonymous term works for us, where God in its fullness works for us, where truth shuts out error. It isn't where I shut out error, where that consciousness which has gone the way is truth. That consciousness which is willing to go the way of life cannot stand alone. It impels the Christ truth that ousts out and wipes out a false sense of consciousness. This cannot be humanly be thought out. It can only be prayed out. Can only be prayed out. But what is helping us and comforting us is that we can see visionally, logically, the way, the method, where we have to go. The realization of it is individual. The substantialization of this consciousness, which is only conscious of spirit, that is the individual's work. That's something which cannot be taught. So the Father in secret, she comes again to the Father. If she wants to explain the Son, she has to explain the Father. Or if she wants to explain the Son, she must deduce it from our knowledge of the Father. The Father in secret is unseen to the physical senses. You see, it's spiritual. Life, the Father is spiritual. But he knows all things and rewards according to motives, not according to speech. To enter into the heart of prayers, the door of erring senses must be closed. Lips must be mute and materialism silent, that man may have audience with spirit. See, only then he has audience with spirit, the purity of spirit, the divine principle love, which destroys all error. It is that having audience with spirit, it is that having that hearing and listening to the voice of truth, that is that which silences the voice of material sense in us. It isn't so much that we, through some willful attempt, have to argue the voice of material sense away. The way of life is more gentler, higher, sublimer. It has no willful effort in itself. It is all the harmonious evolution and development of spiritual inward qualities. And then when it comes to this point, that wonderful sense of entering into the closet, of earnest longing, that entering itself is the answer. Answers the material sense and shut it up.